Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We welcome you into the Kia Studios on what is now a wet Tuesday night. Thank you for joining us here. John Chuck, 4 till 11 o'clock. We're streaming online. If you go to 929thegame.com, you can listen to the show live, catch our replays, all the interviews, our best moments, all your breaking sports news. It's at our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on whatever device that you own, a phone, a tablet, a boombox, a Laserdisc, Blu-ray, Atari, text instruments, calculator, whatever you got. Just put it on something so that you can listen to us as you get out and about on the go. All the social media, you can find the station at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms. Like us, follow us, do all that good stuff there. The best way, as always, if you want to follow along with this particular show, is through Twitter. I am on Twitter at JMCH316, at JMCH316, your water cooler talking points, 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Jarvis in the house, he is producing tonight, looks good, hanging out. He was out at Flowery Branch all day today. Him and Tanitra were out there getting a sound. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the flyover. He is on Twitter at JarvisD90. Busy show this evening as we get ready for Braves baseball. Game number two of this four-game set. The start, this will be game number two of the 10-game set at home. Four games against the Pittsburgh Pirates is Mike Fultonevich trying to bounce back tonight. He'll take on Chris Archer after it was bombs away at SunTrust Park last night. And what was it, 13-7 last night? Seven total home runs hit between the two teams. Y'all see that game in with Arizona and Philadelphia? 13 homers, I think it was, hit last night in that game. Balls are just flying out of the ballpark. We're going to talk about the Braves and their offense coming up at 7:40 tonight. A couple of guests that are going to join us. D-Led, our guy D'Orlando Ledbetter, the beat writer for the Falcons for the AJC. He will be on with us at 8:20. And at 9:40 tonight, Jake Fisher, NBA writer for Sports Illustrated, as we get ready. Believe it or not, a week from Thursday is the NBA draft. So coming up very quickly, and of course the Hawks, we expect them to be very active, so we'll get into some Hawks draft as well. But we start off with this Braves offense last night, and watching how this team just went bombs away. Two homers for Ozzie, grand slam for Acuna. Mark Cakes had a home run and four RBIs total last night. Freddie bomb last night. This has been a pretty potent offense, and especially now that Austin Riley has gotten into the mix. When you can have a guy like Ozzie Albies, you know, hitting seventh or eighth in your order, that could be a 20 to 25 homer type of guy, you know you've got a lot of power. And when we get to 7:40, I'm going to put that kind of in perspective about what the pace is and where the Braves are at and all time, what it is. The question still remains, obviously, bullpen and their woes and their issues. You know, that did kind of rear its head last night. I mean, you know, you had to score 13 because you felt like you needed every single one of those runs in a game where your pitching staff gave up seven runs. And now we've got some Braves news as far as roster goes. Kevin Gausman somehow has plantar fasciitis. I've had plantar fasciitis before, okay? You can't tell me he just picked that up. Like he's had that. You can't even walk. I promise you can't walk on plantar fasciitis. That's in your heel, and it is immensely, everything you do, it's immensely painful. So I don't know if they're trying to spin that he's been pitching with that, because there's no way he's pitching with that. No way you can plant on a foot with plantar fasciitis. It hurts like a mother if y'all have ever had that. So He's on the IL. I'm going to get it straight, you know, for all the millennials out there. He's on the IL now. So A.J. Minter has been brought back up. And now we know Sean Newcomb is going to pitch on Saturday. No, not Dallas Keuchel, because we have to explain this to the listeners and Morning Show and everybody else that's out there that he has to be down in the minor leagues for 10 days before he's eligible to come up. Injuries or no injuries, he has to stay down in the minor leagues for 10 days. So he'll be up on the 18th, I think is what the official date is. He'll get one more start coming up. I think they said Saturday he's going to start. And I think he's going to pitch in Mississippi, right? Is that what I saw today? Was that officially announced? I think Jarvis, he was going to pitch in Mississippi, because I think the Gwinnett Braves have like a doubleheader or something weird going on, and they're on the road somewhere. So I think I saw he's going to pitch in Mississippi. We'll confirm all of that. But he's got one more start, then he can come up. But Braves making, you know, some roster moves after Gausman got beat up last night in his start. You know, Fulte can't keep the ball in the ballpark. You've got three solid starters. Your bullpen is just, it's all over the board. You know, Newcomb was tremendous last night, but Blevins and Winkler, you know, just these guys are what they are. Now, it's not as bad as it was with Chad Sobotka and all that kind of stuff, but they are what they are. The question I have that I'm starting with is, how far can this Braves offense carry this team? Can this Braves offense be good enough? Because when we break down the numbers, they're on, you know, some historical types of levels. Are they good enough to carry this team to the World Series? Do they have just enough bullpen and starting pitching to where this offense is so good it can carry it to the World Series? That's a tough thing to do. That's a tough thing to take and have an offensive team. Look, the Indians, you know, I'm a Northeast Ohio, you know, lifelong Indians fan. And I watched every bit of those teams in the 90s. And they got, you know, they got a long way with very mediocre pitching, believe me. You know, the 95 team that had Dennis Martinez and Oral Hershiser and some of those guys, very mediocre starting pitching. The 97 team with the Jarrett Wrights and the Chad OJs and the Charles Nagy's, you know, Nagy was on both those teams, but had very mediocre pitching. But they had historic level offense. Had great offense. The other thing that they had, too, that people kind of forget is they had a hammer in the back end of their bullpen. You know, Jose Mesa was really good those couple of years for the Indians, especially in 95. They had that big-time hammer that they could close you out. But the reality of that group was, and again, they didn't win the World Series. You know, at the end of the day, they didn't win anything for it. They got there a couple of times, 95 and 97, but they didn't win anything for it. Trust me, I know. I live it all the time and know it intimately, I should say, that I know it intimately about what they did and did not do. But John Hart's philosophy on that team was, we may give up four or five runs, but we can score seven or eight. We can always mash and maul our way through. Now, the Braves, I don't think, are quite that kind of offense. That offense was just ridiculously stupid. You know, Carlos Baerga was a 20-100 second baseman. Lofton was the best leadoff hitter in the game. He was the best base stealer in the game. He would hit 320. He would steal 60 bases. He'd score 120 runs. He had sneaky power. And then, you know, what are you going to say about Tomy, Ramirez, and Bell? I mean, for God's sakes, that's murderer's row right in the middle. You know, that's three guys who have had 50 homer seasons in Major League Baseball that they had. I mean, they had guys like Eddie Murray, you know, hitting 6th, 7th in their lineup. I mean, Paul Sorrento and guys like that. Plus, Sandy Alomar was an all-star catcher. You know, then go to 97 when Marquise was there and David Justice was there and Matt Williams was there. You know, they were loaded that year. You know, they've always had maulers and mashers up and down the lineup. Braves aren't quite like that. I mean, they're not quite like that. The Red Sox were a lot of like that. But, you know, the problem is that when you get against the elite-level pitchers, what do? And you saw the Braves when they went out to L.A. Yeah, it is Mississippi. Yeah, that's what I thought. Keuchel's going to pitch in Mississippi. I thought I saw that today. There's some weird scheduling thing with the Stripers that they've got like a doubleheader in Syracuse. Yeah, so they got a weird deal going on, so they're going to move him to Mississippi. So he'll pitch in Mississippi, Keuchel will. But you've seen this offense at times when it was Ryu and when it was Kershaw and when it was Greinke. You know, people remember when people that's when the Ronald Acuña to leadoff spot changed, was that LA Arizona series at the very beginning there. And people were like, well, this offense isn't scoring and this, that, and the other. And look, now all of a sudden we're scoring runs. Well, you know, I said back then, nobody hits, you know, what's his name? Walker Buehler and Ryu and Kershaw and Greinke. You know, that was four of the five starters that you saw in a stretch there where nobody's going to hit against those guys. Nobody whacks those guys around. So that's what you want to see. And we talk about Philadelphia. You know, right now it's all good because you're playing the Marlins and the Pirates and the Nationals. You're playing a bunch of Scafozo teams. You're not playing teams that are that good. That's the reality. Now you get in Philadelphia coming in for the weekend, and then I didn't see the pitching rotations for the Braves as far as what they've got coming up. Maybe I can take a look. I don't know if they've got DeGrom when the Mets come in or how that sets up. I haven't looked that far in advance. But, you know, obviously, if you're talking about, let's see. Yep, so they'll get DeGrom on Tuesday, the 18th. They get Wheeler, DeGrom, and Mats, and then when they go to Washington, Sanchez will pitch the first game there, who, by the way, shut them out too, remember? Anibal Sanchez had a perfect game through six innings or whatever like that. So this is the thing that we need to start seeing is, what does this offense do when the best of the best gets on the mound? When it's Aaron Nola or Clayton Kershaw, you know, or Jacob DeGrom. And I'm not telling you that all these teams are going to go whack those guys around, but there are enough teams that figure out a way to beat those guys. You know, DeGrom hasn't been perfect. He was unhittable at the very beginning of the year, you know, but you know, he's been banged around a little bit here and there. His ERA is 3.45, and you say, well, that's pretty good. Yeah, but his ERA was like 0.8, you know, for about the first month of the year. So we'll see what this offense does when the better teams and the better pitching starts to come along. When we get back, I want to ask this question about the Hawks. We can be fan-friendly and even take some calls. A lot of rumors about what the Hawks are going to do. Should the Hawks stay more of drafting young guys, or should they look to get that established veteran type of star? We'll break all that down next. Chuck McNikia Studios, Sports Radio, 920 The Game.
We're working the phones, trying to look at all our options, whether that means sliding up a spot here or there, or potentially even sliding back or trading out altogether if we feel like we can get a good future asset. We do like the draft. We think that it's got good depth to it. We're looking at everything that's available to us.
That was Hawks general manager Travis Schlenk bringing us back in. We joined the morning show, John and Hugh, for his weekly visit with him. John Chuckery back here in the Kia Studios with you on a Tuesday night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 404-741-0929 is our phone line and our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact. We can be fan-friendly in this segment because there's a lot of, as we say in the wrestling podcast world, rumor and innuendo going around about what the Atlanta Hawks are going to do now that they will be acquiring, and it won't be official until draft night that they acquire the trade of Torian Prince for Crabbe and then the 17th pick and the conditional pick and all that kind of stuff. But mostly let's focus on the 17th pick to go along with 8-10. So 8-10, 17 in that first round. Six total picks in the draft this year. Travis Schlenk has made it clear that they are not drafting five or even six guys. I mean, when they had five picks, he said they weren't going to draft five guys. So we know they're not drafting six. But there's a lot of rumor and innuendo going around about what the Hawks are going to do. Either are they going to move up in the draft and go take at least a couple or two, three of those picks and move up far enough to go get their guy. Or the other thing is that there's been a lot of rumor about, are they in the mix for, say, Anthony Davis? Are they in the mix for Bradley Beal? Okay? So I ask you at 404-741-0929. Would you rather the Hawks package their draft picks to move up in the draft and go get another young guy, or would you rather they package their draft picks and get an established guy like a Bradley Beal? Now, the only thing about the Anthony Davis thing is that, obviously, that kind of skews it. If you can get Anthony Davis and it involves draft picks or Kent Bazemore or whatever like that, you make that trade 15 times out of 10 times. You're talking about 25 and 15, first-team All-NBA, elite-level shot blocker. He is a true superstar in the league. He's a first-team All-NBA caliber player. You can't hope and pray that you draft somebody like that. The great thing about the Hawks is the fact that with the assets that they have, they're one of the teams that definitely can afford to try to move up and try to go be a player, whereas a lot of teams are not looking at trying to move up in the draft. If anything, they're trying to move back down in the draft. The Hawks are in the opposite position. They're one of the very few teams that is looking and saying, hey, we'll go up, you know, put the right stakes out there, and we'll move up in the draft. We got no problem moving up. We'll package a couple of these picks, maybe all three, depending on where it's going to be. Now, so you understand, Hawks aren't getting to, I don't believe they're getting to number one. I don't believe that they're getting to number one. I can't even imagine a scenario that tells you that they're going to get to the number one pick. That would be foolhardy for the Pelicans to try to get rid of that. Look, you draft Zion, you hope for the best, and you move on from there. But you have to draft the guy who is the number one, consensus number one pick out of all of it. You have to draft that guy. So I'm not anticipating getting up to number one. Maybe they can get to three. Maybe three is a place that they can get to. So that might be a possibility. We heard that with the Knicks. Maybe this third draft pick makes it a little bit more inviting. Maybe this third draft pick makes it, you know, to where they can get up that high and go get whoever it is that they want. Me personally, I would rather have the established guy. Because the NBA draft is such a crapshoot, and even at number one with Zion, it can be a crapshoot. He's the overwhelming favorite that you have to draft him, and we all get that, but that doesn't guarantee you anything. Bradley Beal's an established player in this league. He's a guy that can go for, you know, 20 to 25 points a night. He's a guy that you know can score, and if you could put him with a, you know, with a Trae Young, and put those two guys together, now you got something. His last 3 years in the league, 23.1, 22.6, 25.6 last year. That's a stout number, folks. You got a guy who can get you 25 a night. There ain't a whole ton of those guys running around in the league. And to think you can draft a guy like that, I just don't see that. So I think if you can get the veteran guy, you go for it. I think if you can find him, now he's going to cost you a lot of money over the next 2 years, but the Hawks do have money. He's going to run you $27 million next year. He'll run you $28, well, almost $29 million the year after that. But the Hawks do have money to be able to do some things with it. I would rather, if they could package to go get that veteran guy, I'm much more willing to do that than even moving up in the draft and kind of hoping for the best. Not a matter of I don't trust Travis Schlenk to do the right thing, but I like the idea of taking my picks and going to get an established star. Because finding a guy that can be a 20-point-plus night guy and you know he can be that for your franchise, man, that's a valuable commodity. And that's just not a thing that's easy to find. 404-741-0929 is our phone line if you want to jump on and chat with us. Let's grab KJ out in Alpharetta. What's going on, KJ?
Hey there, how you doing? And I'm with you when you say they need to try to get an established player. But I think you're doing a disservice when you start throwing out Anthony Davis' name. The Hawks ain't in that league. They're not that kind of club to get even qualify for Anthony Davis.
Well, actually, that's not true. Hold on. Based upon what New Orleans has said, that the Hawks have the assets. Now, whether that actually happens or not, I'm with you, KJ. That's a totally different thing. But if you look at what some of the parameters are that the Pelicans are putting out there, the Hawks do have some of the assets to make a deal like that happen.
No, like I said, you guys at this station, y'all help sponsor the Hawks. They're not in that league, so stop misleading the fans. It ain't happening.
Well, it may not. I appreciate the phone call, KJ. I'm not telling you it's going to happen. Am I mixing words here, Jarvis, or anything? I don't think I did. I'm not telling you they're going to happen. But go look at some of the things that the Pelicans are asking for when you talk about Anthony Davis. the Hawks have assets to use. The Hawks have probably more draft assets than any team in the NBA. Well, I don't think. I know they have more than any team in the NBA. That doesn't guarantee you anything, and it doesn't mean that they will make that kind of a deal at the end of the day. So I understand. I'm not telling you that the Hawks are going to get Anthony Davis, but they're certainly one of the teams that has some of the components and pieces to go get that. Jeremiah out in Carrollton. What's going on, Jeremiah?
Hey, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, man. How you doing, man?
Doing good. Let's keep going with the draft, in my opinion.
Okay.
My humble opinion. Let's keep building. I think we're on a good lead. Let's keep rolling that way. I hate it that the NBA has become a soap opera. But yeah, let's keep building through the draft. Thanks.
I'm with you. I understand, Jeremiah. And look, if the Hawks are going to draft, if they're going to do it through the draft, they're going to move up. They're not taking, what's my saying, Jarvis? That there's a better chance I'll cook dinner five nights. Wait, I can't say that name anymore, right? Yeah, I forgot. I took the advice of Junkyard in Midtown, so I can't say that name anymore. So I don't think they're not going to draft 8, 10, and 17. That's just not the business that the Hawks are going to be in. They've already told you that they're not going to draft 5 or 6 guys. There's no reason to have 8, 10, and 17 and not move up and go get your guy. Whoever your guy is, when I say your guy, Travis Schlenk's guy, whoever Schlenk's guy is, you go up and get him. Jose out in Marietta. What's going on, Jose?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, man. Thanks.
So I would honestly stick with the draft. If I'm gonna move up, if I'm not gonna move up to like number 3 or 4 or something high up there, I would definitely trade, but to acquire a better player. But that's kind of like the lottery too, because you don't know if that player is gonna necessarily be
absolutely
the flow that these young guys have.
Yep, so, that's the roll of the dice. And appreciate the phone call. That, you know, even moving up doesn't guarantee anything. Look, drafting Zion doesn't guarantee you anything. And I understand. I mean, I'm not telling you that if the Hawks package a couple of picks and they move up to 4 or 5, that I'm going to be mad if they take Culver or Hunter or Cam Reddish or whatever. I'm not going to be mad about that. I just would tell you that my personal preference would be if I had to package 2 or 3 picks to get. If you told me 8, 10, and 17 got me Bradley Beal, I'd rather have Bradley Beal than those 3 picks. Or those 3 picks and getting the 4th or 5th pick. Cam Reddish. Let's just say it's R.J. Barrett. I'd rather have Bradley Beal than R.J. Barrett. And I say that because Bradley Beal's a 25-point-a-night scorer in the NBA. I know what he is. I don't know what R.J. Barrett is just yet. 404-741-0929, Chuck Green, the Key Studios. We talk some Hawks, getting your thoughts about it. Eddie out in Lithonia. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on, John?
Hey, man.
Hey, I love the show, man.
Thank you.
Hey, look, man. I think it's time for us to get that superstar stud, man. I mean, look at what Trey and John did last year. I mean, they're one superstar away. And I heard the caller a couple of calls ago saying that this is, you know, you're misleading the fans and all of that. I don't think so. I think this is now an attractive place for someone like Anthony Davis to come in. He can say, okay, I got some pieces here. Let me fit in and see what we can do. It's not like this is a scrub team, man. We have some up-and-coming players with tremendous upside, and I think it's time to make that move.
Especially in the Eastern Conference, too. That's the other thing is that, you know, a lot of people will tell you that's kind of why, you know, Kawhi may stay over here, that he can win in the East. I don't know. I mean, we'll see when it's all said and done. You know, I know everybody wants to throw dirt on the grave of Golden State. You sure that's the franchise right now that you want to throw dirt on their grave, huh? Okay. I'd be real careful about that. All right, one last call, then we're going to head to break. Jay out in his truck. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, brother, what's happening, man?
Hey, I'm just riding around getting it, man. Hey, man, nice topic, man, and I agree with you, man. Listen here, if we wait for free agency, people are not going to come
right
to Atlanta. They love the nightlife. They love the city, but if we wait till free agency, they're not going to come. Why not trade for Anthony Davis? Why not trade for a Bradley Beal? Like you said, we got Trey, we got John Collins, we got Herder. Let's see, we got some young pieces. Let's do what Toronto did and take OKC. They took chances to trade his assets. You see Georgia State and Oklahoma City. Toronto might keep Kawhi, but I'd rather take a chance, man, because like you said, I don't even watch college basketball enough to know these guys, let alone know if they're going to help us out. So I'm with you, Chuck.
And Jay, look, man, these free agents know, man, it's rough out in them streets, isn't it? It's rough in them streets. Even them free agents know that. I could teach them a thing or two. They'd come talk to Chuckery. Anyway, when we get back, how does this Braves offense compare to some of the all-time great Braves teams? I'm going to give you guys some numbers of where they're at and some of the pace that this team is on. They're putting up some big-time numbers. Talk about that next. Chuckery and the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery here with you, hanging out till 11 o'clock. Join Andy Bunker, Randy McMichael, and the 92.9 The Game crew this Saturday as the Midday Show will broadcast live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. That'll be from noon to 3. Hang out with the Midday Show for lunch and enjoy delicious man food and cold beer. Join us this Saturday from noon to 3 at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. 404-741-0929 is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. On Twitter, that's the best way, at JMCH316, at JMCH316. We'll get back into that Hawks topic. We're going to do circle back, and we'll hit that a little bit later on in the show. So I know everybody getting kind of geeked up and ready to see. It's an exciting time to be a Hawks fan because you really want to see what this team and this franchise is going to do next to build this roster. But as we switch over to the Braves, as we're watching the Braves, and of course they're down 2-0 because heaven forbid that the Braves would actually play with a lead at any point, you know, this season. It's just crazy how like they always seem to like be having to come from behind. But I started looking at some numbers because last night we saw the 5 home runs, 2 out of Ozzy, Acuna, Freddie, Nick Markakis, just bombs away, you know, for this year. So I started running some numbers to look at where the Braves are and what they're tracking for and what they could do this year. So the Braves' all-time franchise number for home runs in a season is 235. Now, that was that 2003, and I've talked about that team a lot. That is absolutely maybe my favorite Braves team. Just Sheffield in right, Andrew in center, Chipper in left. Javi went for 43 homers that year. That team was just loaded. That's the Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor, and Leo driving me crazy with, well, anything can happen in a 5-game series, and the bats just went ice cold in that series. Remember that Cubs series? That just stunk. Sheffield was terrible in that series. Ugh. But they, in the regular season, man, they were bombs away that year. 235 homers, excuse me, for that Braves team. So that's the franchise leader. The Braves right now are on pace for 231 homers. They're on pace to hit the second most homers ever in franchise history. And here's what I'll tell you about that number. Remember, that number is a little bit skewed simply because they didn't have Austin Riley at the very beginning of the year, right? Austin Riley wasn't on this team at the very beginning of the year. So essentially, you're talking about Camargo or Enciarte. You're trading that home run bat for Austin Riley. Yeah, 2003 team. How about some of these numbers, Jarvis? 43-109 for Javi. Marcus Giles had 49 doubles, 21 homers, scored 101 runs. Rafael Furcal, 35 doubles, 10 triples, 15 homers, 130 runs scored. Chipper went 27-106. Andrew went 36-116. And Sheffield went 39-132. And they went 103, 101, 126 runs scored. They had 5 guys score over 100 runs that year. My goodness gracious. They could maul it that year. They absolutely could mash. That was a phenomenal team. 101-61 that year. My goodness. 101-61. And of course, lost to the Cubs. Remember that series? That series drove me nuts. Wood and Pryor and Leo's talking about, oh, you know, anything can happen in a 5-game series. Screw that. That was the best team in baseball for that Braves team that year. Anyway, I digress. That's what happens when you remember all these old times. So the Braves very much, like everybody in baseball, they could very much hit the most home runs in the history of the franchise in 1 year. Their pace is only four off, and like I said, that now you're going to get Austin Riley the whole way through, where you didn't have him for the first month of the season. The 2016, by the way, is number two at 222 home runs. When you look at runs scored, I'm using 20th and 21st century numbers, by the way, because the top teams of all time were like in the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s, modern day. That 2003 team is also the highest scoring team in the history of the franchise at 907 runs. Now, right now, the Braves with 336 runs, they're on a pace to score 825 runs. So that would put them 1, 2, 3, 4. That would be the fifth highest total in the history of the franchise. And again, I go back to the idea of you got Austin Riley. And truthfully, we haven't even seen Ronald Acuna get that red-hot bat going yet. We haven't seen him have one of those two-week stretches where everything's on a tee and it's 430 feet out of here and he's whacking it all over the place and they're scoring runs left and right. So, yeah, they're on pace to be one of the five highest-scoring teams. If they score 825, the 98 team scored 826. The 99 team scored 840. The 06 team scored 849. So, depending on what happens, they absolutely could be second. I don't think they'll get the 900 runs. They could be the second highest scoring team in the history of this organization. And their OPS right now is a 775. And again, I go back. Ender and guys like that lowering it. Camargo lowering it. Well, now you got Austin Riley. That would be the, let's see, right now that is the 2-4. That's the sixth best total in franchise history. The 98 team is the best at 795. They're at 775. So that number could go up. So when you start looking at how good this offense is, this is not just a really good offense that the Braves have. This is historic level what the Braves are doing. They could potentially set some franchise records with what they're doing this year offensively. And think about it. We haven't seen the best of Josh Donaldson. We haven't seen Ronald Acuna get red hot. You've got Austin Riley now. Everything seems to be, now the weather's warming up and Ozzy's whacking it all over the place. Everything seems to be in a real pointed up direction. And don't forget, too, they've played the Dodgers in a series. They've played Arizona in a series. They've played some good teams in series. They still have the Marlins for 10 games. You got the Mets and the Nationals. Yeah, you got Philly. You got the Cubs. You know, but you still have plenty of, you know, Goomba teams. You know, you played a series out in Colorado. You still got some of those teams out there. And I say that in Donaldson homers. How about that? Donaldson just whacked at opposite field and he homers. I'm telling you, man, the ball is going to fly out of this ballpark this summer. And with this team, listen, I would tell you, I don't know what the Braves' record is going to be, but you might want to go get yourself some tickets and go down the ballpark because there's a good chance if you sit somewhere out in the bleachers, you know, out in home run territory, you might catch a few balls out there. Heck, it may not be all Braves balls. It may be some of the opposing team. Man, and he hit the foul pole, or the fair pole, as they like to say. Hit the fair pole on that home run. So this is going to be a fun summer. Hopefully the Braves continue to win and they find a way to put it together too. Because as much as you like to see home runs and runs scored and all that kind of stuff, at the end of the day, you want wins. At the end of the day, about winning the division and finding enough wins, and that's what you got to get done. That's why these series against Philadelphia and the Mets and some of these teams are going to be so important coming up here. Start beating some of these other teams that are not named the Florida Marlins. Start whacking the ball all over the place. All right, when we get back, we got early voting in the Major League Baseball All-Star game. We'll give you an idea of where some of the Braves players are in all of that. It's Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Back at it, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.